The following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
A new millennium is here. Absolutely awesome events are destined to occur very early in this new millennium. These events will change your life. They will change your life in ways that are literally unimaginable. But there is a high-level source that reveals just what lies ahead. You need to understand. Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith takes you beyond the New World Order. Now, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith.
Just where are we headed in this new millennium, and how will it affect your life? Last time I told you about the awesome beast power which will soon arise in Europe. We saw that Jesus Christ will return in magnificent glory, and he will crush man's world new order. Not God's world order, but man's order. Notice what is going to happen at the end of the tribulation of the rule of this beast for 3.5 years. Turn with me. Check up on me, as I often tell you. I don't want you to follow me or just follow what I say per se or believe it. I want you to believe, my friends, what your Bible says. A lot of preachers say, the Bible says, the Bible says. And the Bible doesn't say any such thing. So I want you to follow me, but follow the other guys as well. Find out what your Bible actually says. Turn to Revelation chapter 19, beginning in verse 20. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet. Earlier in this chapter, as you look back to verse 11 and 15, you'll see Christ has come. And now the beast is taken, and the false prophet, who worked with him, in his presence by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast, and those who worshipped his image. And these two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Yes, the lake of fire is going to receive these two men who've led this false system, the new world order founded by man under the influence of Satan the devil. And the rest of the people were killed with the sword which proceeds from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. That's the coming Christ is going to crush the rest of these armies. And all the birds were filled with their flesh. Then in chapter 20, we find the angel coming down from heaven, shouting with a loud voice, saying, of course, that the Satan, the devil, is going to be bound for 1,000 years, and he's going to be shut up for 1,000 years in the bottomless pit. Then in chapter 4, notice the latter part, the saints of God, who refused to worship the beast or received his mark, they lived and reigned with Christ. They're going to live and they're going to rule with Jesus Christ on this earth for 1,000 years. Notice verse 6. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God. The saints of God are going to teach the world God's way. They shall be priests of God and of Christ, and they shall reign with him 1,000 years. Yes, this is the real world order that's coming, my friends. The world order under Jesus Christ. And it's going to last for 1,000 years and even beyond, as we shall see. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be a prosperous, peaceful, happy, and magnificent time in which to live. Notice back in Isaiah chapter 2, which tells us more about this time. Isaiah chapter 2 in your Old Testament here. Turn back and we'll find this. Isaiah 2, follow me if you can. Verse 1, the word that Isaiah the prophet saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Notice what he saw. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days, the mountain of the Eternal's house, that's God's kingdom, shall be established on the top of the mountains. As we found, mountain means kingdom. So God's kingdom is going to rule over the other kingdoms, the other nations of this earth. And it shall be established on the top of the mountains and be exalted above the hills. That might mean the smaller nations. And all nations shall flow to it. So this is not just about Judah and Jerusalem. This is about the entire earth. This is about all nations flowing up to Jesus Christ and the true saints to learn God's ways. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain or the kingdom of God, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us. Yes, Christ and the saints, as other scriptures tell us, are going to teach, not just Christ. We will have that opportunity to join with him if we give our lives to God now in the right way. So they're going to be taught his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law. And throughout the Bible, you find that the great spiritual law of God, the Ten Commandments, was not nailed to the cross. It was not done away with by the Apostle Paul. That law is going to be the very foundation of the coming world tomorrow, the coming government of God on this earth, as it was the teachings of Jesus Christ and all of his apostles. The law of God shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Jerusalem will become the capital of this world. He shall judge between the nations, rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares. They're going to be have to be taught to learn the way of peace. They don't know that way, but they will be taught. And their spears will be beat into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation. They're not going to fight. Neither shall they learn war. Men have to learn how to fight and to kill one another. They're not going to be taught that anymore. And, of course, that's going to be, in fact, a very wonderful time. Notice now Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah 30, verse 18. Therefore the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you. This is his people coming back from slavery, back from captivity, and therefore he will be exalted, that he may have mercy on you. For the Eternal is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait on him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem, and you shall weep no more. He will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. The human beings who live on over, who come back weeping and repenting, as Ezekiel and Jeremiah and other scriptures tell us, to be finally willing to learn God's ways. He, when he hears it, he will answer you. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity, yes, he's going to give modern Israel, and that includes, when you understand it, the British, Commonwealth, and American peoples, a great tribulation, though he gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet, now at this time he's talking, your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore. They will have teachers in the world tomorrow to teach them God's way. But your eyes shall see your teachers. Your ears shall hear a word behind you, saying, this is the way, walk you in it, when you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. Some bad guy starts to, violate or destroy some little child, and a powerful voice comes, this is the way, walk you in it. What a wonderful time that's going to be. Let's turn back to Isaiah 11 now and notice more about this magnificent time, the coming kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ on this earth. Isaiah 11, beginning in verse 1. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Yes, Christ is coming back with wisdom and judgment. Notice verse 4, and he will judge the righteousness with righteousness, the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. Notice verse 6, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The vicious nature is not only removed from the nations of the earth, my friends, but it's going to be removed literally from the animals on this earth as well. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child, a little baby girl, a little tiny boy, will be able to lead these animals, just like a puppy dog wagging as it goes along behind its little mistress. The cow and the bear shall graze, the young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. No more poison snakes at that time, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. Then they shall not hurt nor destroy, and all my holy mountain. Throughout the entire kingdom of God, there will be peace, and there will be a kind of joy and quiet satisfaction that I think most of us have never even thought about, knowing that we are fully with God and with Christ at that time for the people who live on over into the kingdom of God. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the bed of the ocean. What a magnificent time! We can look forward to that time, and some of us may be there as human beings, perhaps, if we live on through the Great Tribulation and are never been converted or not willing to obey God. But many, if you're willing, can understand, can act on the truth of God, can give your life to the living Jesus Christ and be there as teachers, teaching God's way of life, teaching God's laws and God's ways, and a whole new world order that's going to last for 1,000 years. Notice Ezekiel 36 now. Ezekiel chapter 36, another magnificent prophecy. God says here to the descendants of the ancient 10 tribe or 12 tribe house of Israel, not just the Jewish people, all 12 tribes, including the British descended and American peoples, as we've told you so many times and have our booklet on that. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the eternal God. This is what God is telling to our peoples in verse 22. I do not do this for your sake, that is to bring people back from their coming captivity and the tribulation, but for my holy name's sake, he says, I'm going to bring you back. Verse 24, for I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all the countries, and bring you into your own land. I'm going to bring you back from your slavery in the great tribulation. I'll bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you'll be clean. I'll cleanse you from your filthiness and from your idols. We have all kinds of idolatry. We have pictures of God and Christ here and there that should not be done at all. Christ can't be put inside of a picture frame. How dare we do that? And the other idols that people worship, and then all the material things, of course, that people worship, in fact, as idols, materialism, they put in place of God. He says, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit within you, and I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh or out of your body and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you. This is God's Holy Spirit, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. They're going to study this book and look on it as an authority, and God will teach them this. Then you will dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You'll be my people, and I'll be your God, and I'll deliver you from your uncleanness. And so he says in verse 30, you will never again bear the reproach of famine among the nations. Then you'll remember. Notice verse 31. Then you'll remember your evil days, ways, and your deeds that were not good, and you, talking about these people coming back from slavery as they finally wake up, you will loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Yes, the people will really repent when they finally learn how wrong they've been. Notice now Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35 describing again this wonderful time, and I'd like you to turn there with me, check up on me, and just skim over it here. I'm not going to read every word, but notice, the wilderness shall, and the wasteland shall be glad for them. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. This whole chapter talks about the peace and the joy that people will have. Verse 5, then the eyes of the blind will be open, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. The lame, the cripple, will leap like the deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. And he says in verse 10, and the ransomed, those people who are in slavery and the concentration camps, the ransomed of the eternal shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. So we need to understand what lies ahead, this wonderful world tomorrow, the kingdom of God on this earth. But what lies beyond that? Is that the end, just 1,000 years of reign? What lies beyond that? What lies beyond the new world order as far as the kingdom on this earth? What is the awesome future of mankind? At this point, I urge you to call or write for our free audio tape on this very topic. This tape is entitled, Why Were You Born? Call in, write in for this free audio tape. It will go beyond what I will be able to tell you now, and it will give you precious and inspiring knowledge about the true purpose for our lives. So call now or write today. Request your free copy of this powerful audio tape entitled, Why Were You Born?
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
Now back to our topic, Beyond the New World Order. We were in Isaiah 35 just before the break, my friends. Turn there again, and remember he's talking here about God's people Israel and how they've been in slavery and the great tribulation, and they're being brought back, and they're going to rejoice as they're brought back and to be in God's kingdom, Christ's kingdom on this earth. He says in verse 10, "The ransomed of the Lord shall return. It shall come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads." But what lies beyond this peaceful millennial rule of Jesus Christ? What's beyond the New World Order? Think about it. Turn to 1 Corinthians in your New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and beginning in verse 1. Here we find a little hint of our ultimate destiny. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 1. "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Can't you judge between brothers on little arguments in the church? You're in training now, when you understand it, as this scripture and many others indicate, to be kings and priests in the coming kingdom of God. All true saints are in training now to be there with Jesus Christ in ruling this world." He says in verse 3, "Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more the things that pertain to this life?" Yes, we're even going to judge angels, the angelic hosts in the world tomorrow. What about that? That's an awesome opportunity we'll have. But, my friends, angels live forever. Angels are spirit beings. So what lies beyond the next 1,000 years? What about life beyond that time? What's our responsibility? What's our ultimate opportunity? What is our ultimate hope? What is your ultimate destiny? Think about it. Turn to Hebrews chapter 2 in your New Testament, and we begin to get a little bit of a glimpse into this awesome thing, this awesome destiny that we have. Hebrews chapter 2, follow me. This is tremendous. Hebrews 2 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul revealed by God, through God, what was going to happen. "For he has not put the world to come in subjection, of which we speak, in subjection to angels." The coming world, the world to come, it's not going to be in subjection to angels. They're not going to be in charge. "But one testified in a certain place, saying, 'What is man that you're mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him?'" He's quoting here, of course, from Psalm 8, from King David. And yet he quotes this as scripture in the New Testament. Notice this. "You made him a little lower." Man was made a little, or for a little while, lower, as many translate it, than the angels. "You crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him," Paul continues, notice, "he left nothing that is not put under him." Some of the biblical commentaries of the Greek scholars puzzle over this, if you read them carefully. They don't grasp what this means. And yet they realize that the potential is there for man to be over the entire cosmos, the entire universe. Because he says here, nothing is not put under man. That is, in God's ultimate plan. Nothing. The entire universe would be under man ultimately, of course, when man is born of God in the resurrection. The saints of God, resurrected now, ruling with Christ. "But now we do not yet see all things put under him," or under man. No, we don't see that yet. Man tries to go to outer space, but he can just go so far. His physical body slows him down, doesn't it? If he gets too far out, if he doesn't have food, if he doesn't have water, if he doesn't have air, anything goes wrong, he's sunk. As we say, his goose is cooked. And frankly, man's never going to get out to Alpha Centauri or stars beyond that. He's not going to be able to do that. He does not have that capacity in this physical life. But he has the will, he has the desire, he has the vision. God has put that in man's mind. What's going to happen? But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Christ has come to die to reconcile us to God so we can be with our Father in his Spirit-born family in an awesome future. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, notice, in bringing many sons to glory. They're called back in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 20, the sons of the resurrection. Yes, the sons of the resurrection. And Christ has called many sons to glory. Glory like he himself has, as you will come to see, to make the author of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he's not ashamed to call them brethren. He calls us brothers. We're going to be like he is. We're going to be full brothers. And we're now begotten sons of God, begotten brothers of Jesus Christ. Not some lower species, but like our Father in heaven. He's a real father, and Jesus is our real brother. He doesn't kid himself and play word games with this. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. If we're converted and have God's Spirit, we grasp and begin to sense what's going on, that we are now the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Not glorified in some other way, but glorified together with the same kind of glory Christ has, as we shall see. For consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. God, our Father, is fashioning and molding us as clay to make us like he is and to learn the lessons of life. But someday we will be born of God, full sons of God, full brothers of Jesus Christ. Notice Revelation chapter 2 now in verse 26. Christ is speaking in the first person. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, Jesus said, to him I will give power over the nations. Yes, the nations of this earth at first were given power over them, the true saints of God. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the potter's vessel shall be broken in pieces, as I also received from my Father, as Jesus said. All the saints will share in what Christ is going to do. The overcomers, those who overcome their human nature, overcome the pulls of the flesh and the world, overcome Satan the devil, they will be there. And we need to be willing to be overcomers and to let Christ live his life within us through the Holy Spirit. Notice chapter 14 now of this powerful book. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 12. Verse 12 now of Revelation 14. God says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Yes, we have to obey the commandments of God. We have to have the living faith of Jesus Christ to be God's people. That's so important. You turn back to Revelation 22. Revelation 22, at the very end of the New Testament, what's one of the last things God tells us about what we should do? Verse 14, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. God will not allow any rebels in his glorious family. He will not allow any potential Satans to be there to upset things forever, because God wants us to be like he is. Notice now, in closing, quickly, part of the prayer Jesus Christ gave, the final prayer that Jesus gave before he died. Let's turn to John chapter 17. This is John chapter 17. Jesus here is praying on this last night before he was crucified. He's lifted up his eyes and spoke and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. And he says then in verse 5, now, Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. The tremendous glory of the Creator. He says in verse 22, the glory which you gave me, I have given them, his people, that they may be one just as we are. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Christ prayed that the true saints of God would be one, just like he and the Father are one. That final prayer of Jesus Christ will be answered. We will have the opportunity to be in the kingdom of God. We will have the opportunity to join with Christ in ruling not only the earth, but the entire universe forever. Again, be sure to call or write immediately and request your free copy of the inspiring audio tape on this very topic. This audio tape will go way beyond what I'm able to give you on this program. It will open your eyes, yet it will be sent absolutely free upon your request. So call now and ask for your free copy of our inspiring audio tape entitled, Why Were You Born? And with it, we'll automatically send you a free current issue of our scintillating new magazine entitled, as is this program, Tomorrow's World. So call or write today.
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free if you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insight on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
Be sure to tune in next week at this same time for Tomorrow's World program. Richard Ames and I will be giving you information about your future, about the inspired prophecies of the Bible, and about how to fulfill your purpose. See you right here next week.
The informative audio cassette offered on this program is yours absolutely free if you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501304, San Diego, California, 92150. Be sure to visit our webpage at www.tomorrowsworld.org. That address again is www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program was produced by the Living Church of God.